There's a lot of names. This is Romans chapter 16, 3 to 6 and 12 to 13. Paul's just, he's written the book of Romans, a letter to the church at Rome. And this is the last chapter, the last thing he's saying. And what he's doing, he's saying, you know, I just know all the people there. I know a lot of the people there. And I'm so thankful for the way they have ministered and sacrificed and served in the church. And so he's naming all these different people and saying, oh, thanks, you know, that you're this way and you've done this and you've done that. And I thought it was a good sermon for today. Isn't that way? Because we're just going to recognize and thank all of you folks for the hard work you do in serving the Lord. And I've called it Gratitude for Godly Servants. And I'm just going to read the verses because there's a lot of sort of hard names here. Hard even for me to read some of them, I think. Okay, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my friend, here's one, Epaphras, I'll say that, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet, let's try Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Well, here's the theme for this passage. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. He was very grateful for all the hard work that these people had done in the church. And that's what we want to reflect on this morning. So what are the various qualities of a godly servant? I just have taken a few verses here, and I did 3 to 6 and 12 to 13. He's got more, all the verses in between there. He's thanking people for all the good things they've done. But we want to make sure we get through the sermon in good time for pizza, so I just left some of the stuff out there. So I've got seven qualities here, very brief. Seven qualities of a godly servant. We want to be thankful for what servants do. Number one, servants of God cooperate in a team. Servants of God cooperate in a team. He starts out by saying, talking about Priscilla and Aquila. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And this is a couple that's mentioned a few times in Scripture, Priscilla and Aquila. They apparently were like a ministerial team, like a pastoral team, and they were husband and wife. And Priscilla actually was the wife. She's the first one named. And they worked together. You know, it's always good when you can do things together as a team, even as a husband and wife, right? It's better to work together than separately. Have you discovered that? You know, if you're married, you'll find out pretty soon, I'll tell you. Better learn now. Anyhow, it's always good. And then the interesting thing is that he says, they're my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Paul says, yeah, I know about them, and we work together. Now, Paul was he's a superstar, you know, apostle, right? He was, everybody knows Paul. He was the leader in the church, and he wrote all those scriptures that we read and stuff like that. He was a superstar. He could have said, well, I'm anointed by God. I have all this information. I can do this on my own. You just do what I say. Is that the way he said it? No, he said, my fellow workers, we're doing this together. We're a team. We're doing it together. And the church is, in a sense, a team. We work together. When we serve together as a team. And now, the New Testament doesn't call us a team. You know, this is written 2,000 years ago, eh? So it didn't use the word team. But what Paul, the term Paul uses, and he talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12 and other places in the New Testament, he calls the church a body. Have you heard that illustration before? A body, like a human body. And he compares the body, human body, as members of the church, like a hand or a nose or an eye and a foot or whatever. Each one is different, but he says each part of the body, you know, the body does one thing. And you know, like it cooperates. It's important. And every part of the body is equally important. You know, and he says not one part is more important than others. And I think in 1 Corinthians 12, I think he had a little bit of humor here. I don't know, it's hard to say because we're talking 2,000 years ago in a different culture. I don't know. But he said, can you imagine, he said, if the whole body were just an ear? Can you imagine? You know, ear bouncing around like that. I think was that humor? I think that's probably humor, eh? I don't know. Kind of eerie anyhow, that's for sure. Or like he says, the whole body was an eye. Can you imagine an eyeball? Boing, boing, boing. He says, the body needs every part to to be effective and coordinate and whatever. I mean, can you imagine it? My brain is, I think it's my brain that's coordinating the parts of my body and whatever. Can you imagine if I want to walk over here and 1 foot wants to go there and 1 foot wants to go there, I'd be in big trouble. Teamwork. He says that's the way that the church functions. We need each other. And, you know, there's certain beauties of this. We're all needed and we're equally important. And you say, well, and he even says in 1 Corinthians 12, he even says, now some people, you know, some parts of our body are not, look like they're not as needed as much as another, you know, like that. He says, no, they're all needed, equally needed and equally valuable. And we need to be willing, he says, to sacrifice our autonomy, like, no, this is the way it should be done, and bend our schedules for each other so that the body as a whole can function. We're like a team. And it also, in the body, working together and serving, rather than just by myself, but together in a body, in a cooperative way, as we do things together, that forces us to build our love skills. Would you agree with that? It's easy, you know, it's nice to be superficial and say, hey, how you doing? You know, have a big smile on your face. But when you start working closer with each other, then some of the stuff that we have in our lives, and we all have stuff, would you agree? We all have stuff. Starts to come out and we start to irritate each other. Can you identify with this? Even though we're Christians, we've got the love of Jesus in us, we still have our woundedness, right? And so it forces us to, as imperfect people, work with other imperfect people. That's not a formula for harmony by nature, is it? But with the love of Jesus, it teaches us how to say, how can I forgive you? How can I be understanding? How can we work this through so that we can work together as a team? And God loves it when we love each other that way. And with a forgiving, understanding spirit as we work through our differences. It's just the way it is. And so that's why Jesus was so thrilled. He said, or two or three are gathered together in my name, he said in Matthew. Two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst. What he's saying is, I'm really thrilled when two or three people with individual wills sort of submit to each other in the body and submit to it to me, agreeing together. He says, that's where I really show up big time. Would you agree with that? Boy, when you have a body that, even though there may be natural differences and natural friction, but when you see people sort of, for the honor of Jesus and serving purposes, agree to cooperate with each other, forgive each other, love each other, and work forward in one cause, that releases the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus in a mighty way than if we just did it all by ourselves. Does that make sense? Okay, enough of that one. So here we are. Again, number one is servants of God cooperate in a team. Priscilla and Aquila were my fellow workers. What's number two? Right there already. Servants of God serve with the strength of Christ. He goes on to say they were my fellow workers, but in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Well, it does not matter what capacity in which we are to serve in the church, whether it be in a large way or a small way, in a visible way or behind the scenes, in an organized way or spontaneous. A lot of ministry takes place spontaneously. It's great. In an exciting job or a mundane job. Some of the jobs in the church that we do are mundane. Would you agree with that? That's just the way life is, isn't it? Doesn't matter. The ultimate goal is to bring people closer to God's love and to trust God more, whether it's in building each other up or reaching out to seekers in our community. But as servants of God, it doesn't matter what God's asked us to do in the body. We still need the supernatural presence and power of Jesus as we serve. The work that we're doing is a supernatural work. Nobody in the world by nature is attracted to God in a way like, well, you know, I'm going to put the Lord first place in my life. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to live for Him and let Jesus live through me. That's not natural. People are... You know, that's why most people don't come to church. It's not natural. It's a mighty miraculous work. And so we work in an environment that's difficult. And we can't do it in our own human strength. We need the Holy Spirit of God, the power of Christ. We need to be in Christ, in His love, in His power, to be able to do the work that we do. We serve with a humble and prayerful spirit, trusting God to work through us. And, you know, by definition, you are technically a member of the body of Christ when you receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, and He comes in by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can say, yes, that power of that love life of Jesus, that supernatural love life of Jesus, it's actually in me and can be through me, and I can work and I can minister in Christ. Do we need to minister in Christ? Well, it's easy to minister in our own strength. And He does want us to do it. We do use our own strength, and no doubt about it. But the key is, you know, Lord, even if I muck up, you know, even if I do a lousy job, you know, preaching, if I stumble over my words, you know, stuff like that, as long as You show up and somehow communicate, isn't that all that really matters supernaturally? Isn't that matter? That Christ somehow speaks through us or ministers through us, and all we do, that's all that really matters, and that's what it means to be in Christ, and that's what gives us courage. So, we're grateful to all of you for being willing to serve in dependence on Jesus with the spirit of humility and prayer. Servants of God, serve with the strength of Christ. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Number three, you ready for number three? Should have a drum roll here. We're looking at various qualities of a godly servant. Number three, servants of God step out in faith and take risks. Woo. He says, they risked their lives for me. Sometimes when you minister for God, it requires a certain amount of risk. You may not be risking your life, but we do. Whenever we do take a risk, it's sort of like risking our reputation. That's like risking our life too, isn't it? Sometimes when you minister for God, it's a risk. God, and have you ever noticed that God always asks us to do more than we are comfortable in doing? Have you ever noticed that when it comes to serving? Don't you love the story of Moses? I mean, most of us know the story of Moses, don't we? How he tried to deliver, I mean, he was with Pharaoh and a young guy. He was almost second or third in command in Egypt, I believe. And then he tried to rescue the Israelites, and he had to flee for his life. And for the next 40 years, he was a shepherd in the middle of nowhere in the desert. And he thought, well, it's all over. And then he was 80 years old at that point. He fled when he was 40, another 40 years in the desert. He thought, it's all over. He's already collecting CPP, right, if they still had it. In those days, it wasn't going bankrupt, I don't think. But anyhow, he's already collecting almost old age pensions or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he sees this fire, right, in the desert, sort of burning, that's not burning up. He says, that's a strange thing. So he goes over there, and he finds out it's actually God. God's speaking to him. And God says, I want you to go back to Egypt. And I want you to lead my people out of bondage. And by this time, he had lost all his confidence. You know, God wants us to have confidence, but not self-confidence. We want us to have confidence in Him, and that just automatically builds our confidence, doesn't it? And well, Moses said, I can't do it. You know, wait. He says, send someone else. I can't do it. Did you think he felt comfortable in doing this assignment? Not at all. And so God's trying to reason with, oh, send Aaron with you to help you and whatever, and I'll be with you, and here, take this stick and put it on the ground. It turned into a snake. He says, yeah, but still, I don't feel comfortable in doing this. And anyhow, eventually, did Moses go? Eventually he did. Do you think he felt comfortable in going? Was he stepping out in faith? And so often, God asks us to do things that are scary and outside of our comfort zone, both as individuals and as a church. It's easier just to go through them, you know, show up for church, do this. It's easier to be within our comfort zone. It's harder to step out in faith and to risk. And that's what Moses did. And, you know, he wants us to trust Him. God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to see His glory to show up when we do step out in faith. And sometimes we step out in faith, and sometimes it looks like we fail even when we step out in faith. Sometimes we do. And I remember the story from Rick Warren, a pastor in California. He says, we're always stepping out in faith, always trying stuff that's different. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. And he says, for every success we have when we try something, stepping out in faith, we usually have four failures. Isn't that cool? We gotta fail before we succeed. And we're afraid to fail. Oh, it's awful to fail. We've done something wrong. We have such an inferiority complex. God says, I'd rather you try and fail and fall on your face and do nothing and just hide and be secure. He's really into risk-taking, you know? And by the way, that church is now like, well, I don't know, 25,000 people, whatever. And he just describes the great miracles that God did do eventually, but it wasn't without a lot of rough waters along the way. But he risked. He went out and risked. Audrey said when she began to teach, when she was just a new convert, just to, you know, didn't know much about Christianity at all, but she was going to church and they asked her to teach Sunday school. It was a huge Sunday school class. And do you think she felt comfortable doing that? But she did it anyhow. And she risked. And I think she's a pretty good teacher today, don't you think? Yeah. I think so. But anyhow, it's all, you know, that's the way. And I'm sure many of you have been asked to do something in the Lord's work, whatever. And at first you said, I'm not sure I can do that. As a matter of fact, I know I can't do that. I can be very much confident about that. I can know I cannot do that. That's how confident I am. But you've done it anyhow because you knew it was something that needed to be done. And God did it through you in the end. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a risk to serve God. And so we're grateful to you that you've taken, you know, in spite of the inner feelings of fear that screamed out within you and said, don't do this! You did it anyhow. That's a servant of God. Good for you. They risked their lives, Paul says. Servants of God step out in faith and take risks. Number four, looking at various qualities of a godly servant. Number four, servants of God are hospitable. Greet also the church that meets at their house. He's talking to, again, about Priscilla and Aquila. They had a church that met in their house. They said, oh, we'll open our house, and the church can meet here. Must have been a smaller church in those days, right? Unless they had a big mansion or something. But there's a church that met at the house. They're very hospitable. Was it a church service? Probably was. Or maybe it was just a Bible study. Or maybe also at different times it was just a fellowship time with lots of food. Eh? Yeah, could have been. And maybe they ate pizza. Eh? And I'm sure that, what kind of pizza? Well, I'm thinking back in 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire, the only pizza shops they had was Little Caesars. Eh? I'm sure. I don't think Pizza Hut stood a chance. It was the Roman Empire, and that's just the way it was. So many of you have opened your homes to church activities, and we're so thankful for that. But being hospitable is more than just opening your homes to people. It is just basically a spirit, right? It's an inviting spirit that says, how can I make you more comfortable? How can I serve you as a person? You can do that anywhere, right? You can do that anywhere, anytime, with other people around you. And that's the spirit of hospitality. That's the spirit of the servant of God. And we are so grateful to you this morning for your willingness to serve with Christ's body at Hammond Bay with the attitude of hospitality. Yes, servants of God are hospitable. Greet also the church that meets at their house. And number five, another quality of a godly servant. Servants of God, fellowship in God's family. Servants of God, fellowship in God's family. He says, greet my dear friend, Epainetos. I looked it up. Believe it or not, that's how it's pronounced, Epainetos. Who was the first convert to Christ in the province. You know what I like about this example for us? Epainetos served without doing anything in particular, right? What's he commended for? He says, he's just a convert. He's just accepted Jesus. Hey, way to go. He didn't do much of anything. He was simply a believer in Christ and a part of the church family. That was his claim to fame. He was simply a Christian believer that fellowshiped by showing up for church meetings. Even that is an act of service to God. And I can remember way back, I think it was the very first appreciation service that we did have for people serving in this church here. It was around 1992, 1991, 1992. We can't say for sure, but I know it was right near the beginning. We came in 1990. I did a sermon on what it means to serve. I have no idea what it was. It's long gone. Who cares, eh? But at the end, the idea there was, the end was, oh, we have people that serve in this area, and then they would stand up. And we have people that serve in this area, and they would stand up. There weren't made a lot of people here, mind you, at that time, but there was a few. And then right at the end, when everyone was standing, except for just a few who were just attending and didn't have specific jobs in the church or whatever, we asked them to stand up. We said, you know what, you're here to worship God, and you're here to fellowship with us and smile, and that is so important. It's a wonderful service, and it's so needed It's such an encouragement. And God's thrilled and we're thrilled. It serves us. So you stand up too. You're just believers, converts. You're just showing up like this. What's his name? He's just showing up. Didn't have a particular job. Maybe he's home watching TV most of the time. I don't know, but he showed up anyhow. And that's a wonderful service too. So thank you for even showing up faithfully to Sunday services because you want to honor Christ and give and receive love with others. You are converts to Jesus and you meet regularly with others who have the same heart. And that's such an encouragement to us. Servants of God, fellowship in God's family. The first convert to Christ, this guy was. Number six, another quality of a godly servant. We're getting there, aren't we? We'll be in time for pizza, don't worry. Servants of God, sacrifice and work hard for others. Look at this. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. What's interesting about those people? What do they all have in common? What? Women? Yes! Did you notice that? In this huge list, the only people that worked hard were women. Isn't that interesting? By the way, this culture is, remember, this is the Middle East 2,000 years ago. He's honoring women in a big way, isn't he? Huge. Huge. And he's saying, yeah, they're the hard workers. I bet you it's the same then as it is today. My guess is that between 60% and 70% of the work in churches typically are done by the woman. That's my guess. I could be wrong. But it looks like they were doing that. I don't know what were the men doing, again, at home with the remote control switching channels on TV. But I'm sure they showed up for service anyhow. Not true here. I know a lot of men work very hard here. But I'm just talking percentage-wise, right? Sometimes it is not easy to serve Christ and people in His church today as far as hard work. You know, serving God is hard work. Would you agree it's hard work? Sometimes just when you're serving God in the church, it's hard work. It's not like we float along and whatever. There's a lot of challenges when you serve. It's not easy. It requires commitment of time, talent, priorities, brain work, brawn work, relationship skills, frustration in ministry, and there's usually not any financial pay. Who in the right mind would do that? It's only because, you know, the Lord wants you to serve and minister. It's hard work. We thank you for it. Sometimes we serve out of our areas of preference. We do things that we do not usually like doing simply because it needs to be done and there's nobody else around to do it. And in the past, I've been involved with signing up on a list to clean churches. We have church cleaners here, which is wonderful, but not always was that the case. And I've been in two different churches where I was part of a list, and you know, once a month or once every 2 months, I'd have to go with someone else and clean the entire church for Sunday. And I don't like cleaning. But it was a job that needed to be done, and it was extra work, hard work, because I didn't like doing it. It's easier to do the stuff you like, right? It's not quite as hard when you're the stuff you like, but when it's stuff you don't like, oh man, this is hard work, and you know, but that's the way it is. So we are grateful and honor you today for working hard as you have served in the body of Christ in Hammond Bay. Thank you for your sacrifice. Servants of God, sacrifice and work hard for others, and that's that list of women who did all the work. They were the hard workers. And finally, number seven. Here we go. Number seven. Servants of God, care for and minister to others. Greet Rufus. I think that's how you pronounce it. Chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Again, he's honoring women here. He says, oh, there's Rufus. But you know, his mom, really, I think she's really cool. I like Rufus' mom. Rufus is okay, but I like his mom. That's the one I really like. Why? Because like mothers are so compassionate. We saw that this morning, right? So compassionate and caring for the children. And he says, she wasn't my physical mother, but she treated me compassionately. She cared for me as if I were her son. Oh, that was so wonderful. And I think that's an example for all of us. We're supposed to care for each other as if we were, you know, caring for our own children. That type of compassion, that kind of type of love for each other. And this is maybe the most important thing of being a godly servant. You compassionately care for people you serve and who serve with you. You genuinely care as a mother would for her child. As a servant, you create an atmosphere of caring, acceptance, compassion, and love. We serve with the supernatural love of Christ for each other. So thank you. Thank you for serving with the compassionate love of Christ, because servants of God care and minister to others just like a mother would to their child. So this day is for all of you here. Because you're here in some capacity. If you're here, you're serving just being here. We are all in some way servants of God, servants of Christ in this church at Hammond Bay. Thank you so much for serving, whether it be areas like teaching Sunday school, the worship team, helping with the worship services, ushers, deacons, committees, Bible studies, building maintenance, financial stuff, facilitating quarterly meetings, greeters, decorating, phoning people, picking people up, giving money to the church, amen, or just showing up to encourage us. Just showing up to encourage us. And on it goes. Thank you for being a godly servant for Christ in His church. Again, as Paul said in verse 4, not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Let's pray. Father, You are so good to us. And right now we thank You for bringing so many people into this body and the body of Christ everywhere in the Nanaimo and around the world who are servants, who serve even though it's difficult. But serve in Your power, serve with Your love, because You are worthy and it's such a rewarding thing. And today, Lord, we want to agree with Paul and be thankful to all those who serve in such ways. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.